Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Houston, Texas, the humidity capital of the world, it's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Woo! Hey, everybody. This is Money for Lunch. I am your host, Bert Martinez, and we are going to feed your business and your mind. Today on the show, we have Dr. Gail Humble, MD. She's an anti-aging expert. You know, guys, anti-aging has now become a, almost important. It's almost a have to. If you want to really extend the quality of your life, not necessarily your years, but just have a better quality of life, I'm a big believer of anti-aging. I'm excited to have Dr. Gail on the show. Also, Jim Palmer is on the show. Jim is known as the newsletter guru, and he's going to give us some marketing tips and tricks for those people who love to use newsletter as a form of marketing. And I think newsletters, I've been around a long time. They're just a great way to connect with your audience. Also, on the show, we have Steve Goldstein out of Chicago, and he's going to be talking to us about you and your money. And then last but not least, for dessert, we have Clint Howard. He's from TulsaFitnessSystems.com, and I'm just going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say that he's from Tulsa. And so he's going to be talking to us about fitness. And again, fitness, anti-aging, they're must in order to extend your quality of life or really extend that quality of life, really get all the juice out of living. Money is important, so we have that covered with Steve Goldstein. And then for your marketing pleasure, we're going to be talking about marketing with newsletters with Jim Palmer. All right, well, enough of that. Let's get rocking and rolling. Let's start with our first guest, Dr. Gail Humble. Again, she's an anti-aging specialist. Dr. Humble brings a commitment to perform the art and science of aesthetic medicine to its highest degree. I love that, to perform the art and science. Excuse me. She specializes in non-surgical procedures to enhance, mold, and shape and improve the face and body. Having said that, let's welcome Dr. Gail Humble to the show. Welcome, Gail.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so tell me a little bit about your practice. First of all, I want to say I love that intro. I love the fact that you perform the art and science of aesthetic medicine, and I really like that because it is part art and it is part science. But tell us a little bit about your practice.
Well, absolutely it is. It's a blend of both. It's primarily a non-surgical aesthetic practice, but we include the name anti-aging, not so much that it's anti-aging medicine, but treating the face and body and keeping it as youthful as possible in a natural way is actually all part of the anti-aging result that we're going for. This is something that's not just with women anymore. Men are involved in it. Men that are going looking for new jobs, women that are looking for new jobs, and just kind of keeping, the main thing is keeping the outside looking the way that you're feeling inside.
Absolutely. And you know what, and I think that anti-aging has now become really mainstream. It used to be kind of a fad and for the wealthy, but now it's really mainstream. It's for everybody who wants to really improve the quality of life, don't you think?
Absolutely. And the biggest complaint is when I go by a mirror, I look at the person. That's not the person I feel like. I feel like I'm still youthful. I've got this energy, but I look so tired all the time, things like that.
Absolutely. And I know that also you specialize in something called PRP. Tell us a little bit about PRP.
That's correct. PRP is the abbreviation for platelet-rich plasma. It's also termed by different things. It's known as the vampire facelift. It has other things. But medicine is changing in this field drastically. Up to this point, we've had synthetic fillers, surgery, things like that. But now genetics is really becoming very much a part of this. Everyone's heard a bit about stem cells. The state of Texas is doing a lot of work in this area. PRP is actually harvesting a person's own blood in a small amount, an aliquot of about 8 cc's. And we're lucky enough to have as part of our blood these little fragments called platelets. These are little cells that live about 5 to 9 days. And they're your first line of defense when you're hurt, when you're cut. They are there to emit certain growth factors. These growth factors help you lay down new vessels. They make fibroblasts lay down new collagen, and the end result is they heal you. But what we've been able to do is isolate these from the blood, activate them, re-inject them into your face or your chest or your arms or whatever you want to rejuvenate, and these growth factors do their effect just like when they're healing if you had an injury. But instead, they revitalize your skin, they revitalize your texture, or else they can revolumize your face.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's 100% all natural. All you're doing is using the body's own platelets to rejuvenate certain parts, correct?
Absolutely. This is completely natural. There's really very little downside. You can't get nodules, granules. It's a completely natural procedure that we're using in a way to regenerate skin that isn't cut, but the results are then permanent because it causes a regeneration, a renewal, as it were, of your skin and texture of your skin.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something, and I thought this was quite interesting. You mentioned that you've noticed a lot of people gravitating towards anti-aging, really in the hunt for a new job. And why is that? Why do you think so many people are going to you prior to going to look for a job?
Well, let's face it, it's a very competitive market out there. There's, especially in the economy, it's, you know, still recovering. There's a lot of people going for one position. And youth has always been important. We may get older and we may get wiser, but in the marketplace, youth attractiveness has always made it been an advantage when you're going for a job. Now, PRP, I want to mention real quickly here, has been very much in the news lately, because its use is not only in aesthetic field, but, of course, all the sports stars have been using it. When you have a muscle tear, Kobe had it. Different people have had it when they've had injuries. So even if you're very athletic, this is something that can be used if there's a muscle injury in certain areas. If you have an incomplete tear, you can use it in a shoulder, and it regenerates when you don't have to go through the surgery. So there is multiple uses for this treatment. In addition,
wow, that's exciting. I mean, that is, to me, really exciting. Now, let me ask you this. Your practice is in California. Where are you located at?
It is in Redondo Beach, California, in Southern California, in Redondo Beach.
And I understand you have some ties to Texas. I believe you went to medical school in Galveston?
Absolutely, I did. It was a great education.
Well,
the weather wasn't always great, but yeah, it was a real pleasure.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, great. Now, listen, I have to take a quick break, and then I'd like to come back and speak with more about anti-aging and PRP right after this couple of minute break here.
Great.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Rose
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
It's just so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, and we are back. We're talking to Dr. Gail Humble, who's an anti-aging specialist, also is a specialist with PRP. And if you don't know what PRP is, you need to go to drgailhumble.com and find out for yourself. This is extraordinary procedure. And you were saying that PRP is also being used for muscle repair or just repair in general. So if you have a tear in your shoulder or a bicep or something, you can actually use PRP to heal the wound or the damage without having to have an operation?
Absolutely. Lots of times when we have sports injuries, there's small tears in the muscle, and the PRP just helps regenerate quickly, and you don't always have to do a more serious intervention, and we're having great results with it. And
now,
it's in the news with all the sports stars as well.
Love it. No, I think that's fantastic because I know the old way of really of taking care of a tear was to have surgery. Now let me ask you this. If somebody wanted to look at having the PRP treatment, what should they look for in their healthcare provider? Where should they go?
Someone who's knowledgeable about the procedure. In orthopedics, a lot of people are very comfortable with this. It also actually has one other use that I'm going to mention quickly, and that is an alopecia or a hair loss. A lot of people now are using it to treat the scalp as one of the arsenal of tools for hair loss, just one of them. That's a multifactorial problem, but it's one more thing and another use of PRP.
Okay, so, you know, I'm hitting 50. This will be my 50th birthday in the next couple of months. And my hair is thinning out. So PRP for hair loss just caught my attention. How would somebody use that? Do they actually inject it into the scalp?
They do. That's exactly right. It's a really easy procedure. It consists of having a simple blood draw. This is not a very involved procedure. The blood is then centrifuged twice to isolate out the plasma and the platelets. And then we select the part that is platelet rich and inject that back into the area that we desire to have treated.
Man, that is fantastic. I mean, I just blows me away that, you know, that as a medical community, we're constantly innovating and learning new things, and this PRP seems to hold a lot of promise.
It is very helpful. Another unique characteristic is, I know everyone's heard a little bit about stem cells. I'm not going to talk about that because I'll bore everyone to death. But you have your own stem cells, your adult mesenchymal stem cells, and they do circulate in your blood. And you get a very small amount of these when you do this, probably about 150,000 stem cells out of the 8 cc's of blood. So there is that component as well. And it's very helpful for the regeneration of either the muscle or giving a great area for hair to grow or rejuvenating the skin.
Man, that's fantastic. Dr. Gail Humble, you can check her out at, I have it right here. Doctor, no period, obviously, drgailhumble.com. Dr. Gail, thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Hey, guys, PRP sounds like it holds a lot of promise, something that you may want to check out for muscle tears, rebuilding or repairing injuries, and growing hair. That, for a lot of guys and women, might be very, very exciting. Hey, coming up next, we're going to be talking to Jim Palmer. And I'm excited to have Jim on the show. He's known as the newsletter guru, and you can find out more about Jim Palmer at getjimpalmer.com. And we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking to the one and only Jim Palmer.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew.
You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick.
Oh, yeah.
Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor
sounds awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, and we're back. I am your host, Bert Martinez. You are sharing your lunchtime with us at Money for Lunch. And next on the menu, we're going to be feasting with Jim Palmer. And you can check him out at getjimpalmer.com. He's known as the newsletter guru. And Jim is a marketing and business building expert, coach to other entrepreneurs, and is best known internationally as the newsletter guru. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bert. Pleasure to be here.
All right. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get your nickname, newsletter guru?
You know, a client actually gave that to me, which a quick funny story, but it's also very instructive. You know, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was really getting into internet marketing, developing my second business, which is No Hassle Newsletters. And one of the strategies that I was being coached on was, you know, anointing yourself as an expert in your field. And I've been doing newsletters for 25 years, but I just never, you know, called myself anything like that. And one day, one of the clients I created a newsletter for, he called me up and he said, "Hey, Jim, this thing works great, man. You're a newsletter guru." And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. Light bulb went off over my head, and I kind of anointed myself, and I've been promoting myself that way ever since. It's a very good strategy that every entrepreneur should use.
Well, I love it. I love it. And I know that you have a bunch of books out. You have 4 books. One of them is The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, The Secret to More Profits and Customers for Life. Stick Like Glue, I love that. How to Create an Everlasting Bond with Your Customers So They Spend More, Stay Longer, and Refer More. And the other 2 books, The Fastest Way to Higher Profits, 19 Immediate Profit Enhancing Strategies You Can Use Today. And last but not least, It's Okay to Be Scared, But Never Give Up. I like all those titles, Jim. So let me ask you, you've gotten this reputation as the newsletter guru. You also talk a lot about customer retention versus customer acquisition. What's the difference? Why is retention so important to entrepreneurs and small business owners?
Well, let me give you the short answer. If you want to sell more of your products and services, and who doesn't, right, then smart entrepreneurs should always turn first to the people that have already identified themselves as buyers, and those are your current customers. You know, Bert, so many times when a business owner gets a new client, they'll kind of figuratively or maybe even go into the back of the store or whatever, ring a bell and celebrate, and the next thing they do is they're back dialing for dollars or doing something. They're out looking for their next customer. In reality, when you get that customer, all you really have is an initial transaction. What you need to do is develop and nurture and grow each and every client relationship you have so they do stick to you like glue, because we know customers that stay longer do end up spending more and they refer more. And so what I'm all about is maximizing the profitability of each and every client relationship, and that really is the focus of client retention versus acquisition.
Absolutely. I love that strategy. It's actually one of the principles that I'm a big believer in. When I – you know, like you, I also do some coaching and some speaking, and so that's one of the things I talk about, that there is more profit in retention. You can, and it's easier to sell an existing customer by like 10 times than going out and acquiring a new customer. And the reason for that is because the initial hurdle of trust has already been overcome. And so now these guys trusted you enough to give you some money. They are your customers. And like you said, now it's up to you to continue to build that relationship and really cement it, or, you know, make them stick like glue, you know, for that, you know, so they stay longer and become more profitable over time. So, I mean, I just love that strategy. And I think you're right that a lot of entrepreneurs and small business people do not understand how to nurture a customer. Now, let me ask you this. In your book, Stick Like Glue, you talk about business being like a leaky bucket. Tell me what you mean by that.
You know, I do a lot of speaking. I'm a very visual person, Bert. And so I, in addition to kind of the written word in my book, I wanted to help people that think more, you know, in their mind's eye. And so I came up with this concept called the leaky bucket theory. And every business, whether you're a solopreneur or, you know, a small business or even a major business, is like a giant metal bucket of water. Like the big metal bucket's got a handle, like you'd go down to the lake or to the well and you fill it up with water. The water inside the bucket, Bert, represents your customers, your current customers, which, again, that's the very lifeblood of your business. Now, every business leaks to some degree or another. Every bucket representing the business leaks. Now, maybe some of the best-known businesses out there like Disney or Nordstrom's or Zappos, they might, you know, maybe have a pinhole or leak around the seam. But in reality, most businesses have several holes in their bucket and water pours out. Now, what I want people to understand, Bert, is when that water pours out, you're not just losing a customer. You're losing all the future sales that that customer could generate. You're losing all the referrals that customer would generate, and on it goes. And so the only way to keep your business alive if you have a leaky bucket is you have to pour more water in the top, which is customer acquisition. And like you rightly just said, Bert, it costs at least 10 times more to attract and acquire and therefore sell to a customer than it does to keep customers you already have. So the strategy that I always talk about with client retention, and then, you know, newsletters being one of the greatest client retention tools there are, you know, one of the great principles is you plug the holes in your bucket. When you keep more of the customers you have now, it's so much easier to sell them more stuff. Because like you said, we all have to overcome initially the know, like, and trust factor. But once we do that, for goodness sakes, why don't you show these customers, these people who have already said, I trust you, here's some of my money, why don't you tell them all of the other items or all the other services that you offer, because it's going to be a much easier sale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. Now, let me ask you this. You know, as far as newsletter goes, why do you believe that newsletters are such an effective marketing tool?
Well, they can do things, Bert, that other forms of marketing can't do. So, for example, and just to clarify, I am a print and mail, paper and ink newsletter guy. You know, I also
We're like old school, really. You print it and mail it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, which, by the way, is where the real money is. Anybody can get online and send out an email newsletter, and like, who's looking for another one of those? So we don't have time to go down that road. But I'm talking about a real, honest to goodness, paper and ink newsletter that comes in the mail. Now, when people get that, it says a couple things. First of all, it actually says you are successful because you're investing in this customer relationship, and you're not just simply sending an email or a tweet or something to their cell phone or something like that. Another thing it is, Bert, people read a newsletter with their guard down, okay? So, you know, people are conditioned to be less resistant to reading information such as articles than they are reading an advertisement. If you think about it, if you pick up like People or Reader's Digest or Boating, whatever you're into, and you read that, it's like your guard is down. You don't have the barrier up because nobody's trying to sell you anything like they are in other types of marketing. So newsletters that are properly written and have the proper balance of articles, what I call work stuff and other stuff, people read that as being informational and they take it in. And I like to talk about your success story, which is how you talk about one of your products or services helped another client. So there's lots of different ways that you can be informational without being kind of salesy and markety, if you will. Not exactly words in the dictionary, but I think you get what I'm saying. And so,
sure. You
know, newsletters also get passed around. They're read by multiple readers. They keep your name top of mind. I mean, there's probably a dozen reasons I could give you, but the fact is they work like crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. since you deliver a physical product, and first of all, I agree with you. I think a physical newsletter or a product says a lot about you as the publisher of the newsletter. It also says a lot about that customer because they're taking, you know, they're taking additional time to open up that newsletter and really focus and read it. Now, with this new digital world that we have coming on, do you have plans on changing from a physical to a digital, or are you just going to continue with a physical?
You know, it's a great question, Bert, and the answer is it's never an either-or proposition. It is all of the above. You know,
gotcha.
I send out a weekly electronic newsletter to about 15,000 entrepreneurs every Tuesday morning at 5:30 a.m. like clockwork. And I mail my customers, my paid members, a print newsletter every single month, the first of the month, like clockwork. And I'm being strategic there because consistency is very important. So it's you got to do it all. Now, if you could only do one, I would do print. And here's why. First of all, you have much less clutter and noise out there. You know, Bert, I don't know about you. I probably get 200 or 300 emails in a day, and I maybe see a third of them, right? Because a lot of them are spam and junk, but nobody's got time to go through them all. But when I go to my physical mailbox at my house, I probably get 5, maybe 6, 10 pieces of physical mail a day. Now, if somebody wants to correspond with me through them, they could either choose mail or email. I guarantee I'm at least going to see it if it arrives in my physical mailbox compared to my email. Let me give you one more statistic. You know, I've been in internet marketing a long time, and I think if you have an 8 or 10%, let's even be bold, which is unheard of. Let's say you have a 20% deliverability rate for your emails. If you have 1,000 customers, Bert, and you think, I'm going to save paper and postage and the heck with what Jim says, and you send that, you push the send button on your electronic newsletter, only about 200 of your 1,000 customers are going to get it delivered, okay? That doesn't mean they're going to open it and read it, but it's delivered. Now, if I was a, you know, kind of a mainstream media and I always put a negative spin on things, I would say, listen, 800 of your customers are not hearing from you. And Direct Marketing Association says every month that goes by, when your customers don't hear from you, 10% of them are going to forget your name, which is pretty scary.
Yep. That's amazing. Hey, now, let's do this. I got to take a really short break, and then I want to finish talking to Jim Palmer, the newsletter guru, right after this quick break from Geico.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Jim Palmer, newsletter guru, on how you can grow your business using newsletters, and you can check them out at getjimpalmer.com. And Jim, let me ask you this. Do you have some tips or strategies for our listeners regarding putting together a newsletter?
Sure do. You know, one of the smartest things you can do for your customers is what I call tell them what else you do. You know, earlier, Bert, we said, you know, every business gets their a first client by way of their initial transaction, so that customer knows you sell that one item or you offer that one service, if that's the kind of business you have, but they don't know of all the other products or all the other services you offer. So every month in your newsletter, what you want to do is on page one, you write your success story, and that is a story that it reads like a story. There's a headline. It's not featured product of the month or anything boring like that. It's an actual story about how your company helped another client or a customer or a patient with a service. And so every month people are reading different things. And, you know, here's why that's important, because many of us, Bert, have gone to network meetings, maybe a cocktail party, and you run into a client and he tells you, hey, I just got this or I just had this service performed, and you might say, well, how come you didn't give me a chance to bid on that? And his answer usually is, well, I didn't know you did that, right? So it's a very good way to inform your customers, again, keep coming back to this. People that have already said, I know, like, and trust you because I've given you money. It's a way to tell those people all the other ways that you can help them. So that's number one. Number two, I would say frequency trumps everything. So not only do you mail your newsletter every month, it's very important to be consistent so that if you're going to mail your newsletter, whether it's the 1st, 10th, 20th, or 30th of the month, you do it every single month on that date, because here's why. It has a higher perceived level of importance. Now, when we go to our mailbox, we usually have our A pile of mail and our B pile, and your A pile is the important things, such as, you know, your mortgage, your insurance, maybe it's magazines you get, things like that. Things that arrive sporadically at different times, those are generally lumped in as junk mail. So you always want your newsletter to arrive the same 2 or 3 day period every single month, so it has a higher perceived value.
I love it. Now, I know that we're out of time, and I know that you offer different services, and you do even do a kind of done-for-you type of services, and they can find out all about that at getjimpalmer.com.
That is exactly right. That one website, you'll see my podcast, you'll see videos, you'll see all the different buttons for no-hassle newsletters, no-hassle social media, all the different things we offer.
Jim, thank you. I love the strategy. I love what you're doing. Thanks so much for sharing your lunch with us today on Money for Lunch.
My pleasure, Bert.
Talk to you later, guys. Hey, coming up, we have Steve Goldstein, and Steve's going to be talking about money. And he is from ChicagoBroker.com, and we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking to Steve Goldstein right after this short commercial break.
Your car was in an accident. The good news, you're not hurt. The bad news, the insurance company is not treating fairly. Who do you call? Call LibertyPropertyDamage.com. With over 6 million auto accidents per year, insurance companies cut corners wherever possible. LibertyPropertyDamage.com won't let them. If you are being treated unfairly by any insurance company, call LibertyPropertyDamage.com right now. We'll get you everything you deserve. Total loss, diminished value, rental reimbursement. Call LibertyPropertyDamage.com at 832-303-2378.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, and we're back. We're talking to Steve Goldstein out of Chicago, and he is from ChicagoBroker.com, and he's going to be talking to us about you and your real estate. I had erroneously said your money, but he's going to be talking about real estate. And so, you know, right now people are very concerned. They're somewhat uncertain about real estate. They know it's gotten better, but what should you do about real estate? We're going to find out. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
All right, so tell us a little bit about ChicagoBroker.com. What is it that you guys do?
Sure. We work in the Chicago market, Chicago downtown, north side, north suburbs, and out by near west, and represent office and retail property owners and tenants in lease negotiations primarily. So we help people to either find space and negotiate terms, or to renew their leases, or if it's a landlord that's got vacant space, we help them to find tenants and keep their tenants.
Absolutely. Okay, gotcha. Okay. And how long have you guys been involved in this space?
I've been in the business since 1988 and started on my own in 1991 and created the .com concept in the mid-90s for Chicago Broker with what it is today.
Okay, so... Give us some feedback. What's happening in the commercial real estate industry? Are things getting better? Is it still pretty loosey-goosey? What's your take on the real estate?
I think it's slowly getting better. We've got some big problems with retail and some big problems with certain product categories, certain office areas, certain locations. But I think in general, what I'm seeing happening is, you know, with the recession and the fallout and people losing their jobs, there's a lot of people that are starting their own companies or buying franchises or that are putting out their own shingle and that are out looking to take space and open businesses. And that's largely the activity that we're seeing in the market now.
Now,
Was Chicago hit as bad as some of the other cities? I thought, or did, because I thought Chicago did pretty good. It wasn't badly, you know, it wasn't pummeled like some of the other cities. What was your take on the overall Chicago experience?
I mean, across the board, property values went down considerably. I would say, you know, this isn't a stat, but I would say 20 to 30%. And with the lending basically ceased and is still non-existent. Anyone that's sitting on decent property is really in a pretty good position right now to see some big upside. And, you know, I think that's going to be where the real opportunity is going to be in years to come. If nothing's able to get built in the next couple of years, you're going to see rents start to rise, and the tenants are going to be, you know, in demand, but they're going to still have to pay to be in certain locations.
Right. So it's going to change, and the landlords will have a little bit more competition, or what do they call it? Kind of a landlord's market. It'll turn around a little bit.
I think on a location basis, there's certain locations like downtown where it could be a landlord's market if you're looking for Class A space, or River North in the city, you know, if you're familiar with the city of Chicago. But in other locations in the suburbs and some of the other parts of the city, it's going to remain a tenant market for a long time.
Gotcha. Okay, so walk me through it. Who would be your ideal client? If I was going to retain ChicagoBroker.com, you know, who's your ideal client?
Our ideal client would be someone who's coming off of a lease that they signed in 2003 or 4 or 5, where now they're at a point where their lease is expiring. It's the end of a 10-year, it's 7-year, 8-year lease. It's expiring, and they're facing rates that are well above the market. And we can help them to identify options in the market where they can save money, either subleases or distressed landlords or just people who are realistic about their properties, and use that as leverage to save the client money and take that leverage and that market information and play it against their existing landlord. So a great client for me is anybody who's got an office or retail lease that's coming due in the next 2 to 3 years.
Gotcha. Now, do you also get involved with existing leases? I mean, can if I have a lease that I'm currently unhappy with, could I retain your services to help me work something out with a landlord? Do you guys do that kind of stuff as well?
Absolutely. That's what we do. I mean, we start out always with the premise that the tenant needs to be in a position that they need to be willing to move. And then we get out before we approach the landlord and get proposals from 3 or 4 or 5 competing buildings that are truly apples-to-apples buildings, apples-to-apples locations. But with the market leverage like it is, we're able to get better terms, maybe newer space, decorating, free rent, other concessions and things that give the tenant flexibility. And then after we have all that information organized and have reviewed it with our client, we would then go back to their existing landlord and propose a new deal structure based upon what their alternatives would be in the market.
Love it. I love it. And if somebody is interested in retaining your services, obviously in the Chicago area, you can go to ChicagoBroker.com for more information about Steve and his team. And let me ask you this, Steve. What kind of advice would you give our listening audience if they are out shopping for lease space right now?
Well, for one, I would say use a broker, because the system is not set up for you to be successful without a broker. The data that we have, the market knowledge that brokers have, and the connections with other brokers, property managers, and owners is going to give a tenant that uses a broker a big advantage versus someone who doesn't. For instance, we have premium subscriptions to databases like CoStar and LoopNet, as well as others, that give us the ability to print out or send you a list of properties and print out the availability of space for any market sector, like you're reading the stock page in the Wall Street Journal. So you can compare and contrast different properties, and the information is up to date and it's accurate versus some of the stuff that's out there for free on the internet or driving around trying to pick information off signs.
Right. And you know what? And Steve, I got to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're talking about getting yourself into some lease space with expert Steve Goldstein from ChicagoBroker.com right after this quick commercial break.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
And we're back. I am Bert Martinez, your host. This is Money for Lunch, and we're sharing our lunchtime with Steve from ChicagoBroker.com. And you can reach him via email at steve@ChicagoBroker.com. He specializes in helping tenants either renew or negotiate their leases and or find you that perfect lease space you're looking for. Hey, Steve, now let me ask you this. Okay, so one of the things that you suggest is get a broker that's going to help you get you the listings that you were looking for, but also save you time. What other mistakes do you see a lot of people make when they try to do it on their own?
Well, the other thing I was going to say is a big mistake that people make is they think that if they go to their manager or the person that they have been dealing with, their owner, and try and deal direct, they're leaving money on the table. Because in my experience, 99% of the buildings that I've dealt with have budgeted in on vacant space or lease renewals. They have budgeted in leasing commissions to be paid to brokers. And when you go to deal with your landlord or management company directly, and they have their representative that holds all the cards and has all the knowledge about the market, that person collects a fee when a successful lease is finalized. In the scenario where you bring in your own broker, a tenant representative broker like myself, we just split the fee basically with the landlord's broker. So the tenant then has somebody on their side that's a hired gun, and the landlord has their guy.
Absolutely. And you know what? And something that I'd like you to kind of elaborate on a little bit, and that is, I've heard from people who met, that might have been in a lease for 4 or 5 years, and they have a little bit of a relationship with the owner or maybe with the owner's representative, and they kind of feel, quote, guilty, or they feel bad that now they've hired somebody like yourself to help them renegotiate the lease. They feel as though now the landlord is, going to treat them different. But that's not really the case, is it?
No, I think there's different ways to approach it. My style is not to be confrontational and to make threats, but to rather deal with the weight of the market to help get leverage and to create sort of a reverse auction between buildings. So it's really just logical that the landlords would want to deal and make the concessions. But realize this, lease renewal is a landlord's best friend. If you think about what happens when a lease comes due, You've moved your law firm into a building. The landlord spent $50 a foot in build out 10 years ago. He gave you a year free rent. He gave you all sorts of other concessions. He paid a brokerage commission. And now your lease is escalated to, let's just say, $30 a foot. And that $30 a foot was built upon the premise of all these concessions being built into the deal up front. And then with escalations in time, the lease may have gone from 25 with 50 cent bumps a year up to the 30 level, and now you're facing renewal. And the landlord says, well, we'll give you a great deal, Mr. Tenant. We'll renew you at $29 a foot. And like you said, the guilt, the feeling that you're friends with the landlord, you're in a relationship, they send you flowers and they send you a Christmas gift once in a while, is going to make you pay their freight and not argue with them or not really contest it. But if you look at the fact that, well, your build-out's done, the wood-paneled offices are installed, the concessions have been eaten up, all that money that the landlord spent, they don't have to spend to keep you. So by taking that philosophy that the landlord's your friend and you're renewing your lease and just going to pay his rate with his minor concession he's giving you on rent, you're really leaving a lot of money on the table. Well, the question you really should be asking is, what's the value of those of all that concession that was given to me up front, and that should be taken off in the new lease? And or an argument should be made that if you were to walk and leave to go to another property, they would have to face all those costs rebuilding, downtime, credit risk from a new tenant coming in that might not be as good as the one leaving, broker's commissions, free rent, etc., in a new deal.
Right, right. So and you're right, and I'm looking at it, you know, also from a landlord's perspective. You're right. Do I want to risk a new tenant when I have a tenant here that's already got a history with me, a history of you know, paying good and being a decent tenant? Why do I want to risk it? I'm much better off giving a discount and keeping him versus having him walk out and then my lease stays empty for at least a month. You know, those things take at least a month because you got like I said, you got to build it out and kind of refresh it. So you're at least empty for 30, maybe longer.
No, I would say that's a fallacy. In residential, you know, I've been told, I don't do residential, but I've been told a month to 2 months is kind of the average lease-up time when a space goes vacant. In commercial, you know, 9 months, 18 months, 27 months, it can be 3-4 years before you see a tenant that fits in the space. And realize also that since there's no credit right now and it's very difficult to get financing, the landlord isn't going to be able to build out the space for a new tenant without expending personal cash or doing a capital raise. And, you know, they may have to ask the tenant to pay, and that's difficult. And then with the new tenants coming in, they have to get lease security to cover their out-of-pockets on the transaction. So it can be a very, very long and cumbersome process to find a new tenant when a good tenant leaves.
Absolutely. Steve Goldstein, check him out at chicagobroker.com. Steve, thanks very much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, coming up, last but not least, we're going to have dessert with Clint Howard. And Clint is a fitness expert, and he has TulsaFitnessSystems.com. Like I said earlier, I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to just assume that Clint has something to do with Tulsa. And so anyway, just give you a quick, brief synopsis on Clint. Clint Howard has been sharing his passion for fitness for 14 years. His dedication and commitment to fitness industry has gotten him recognized as one of the most successful personal trainers in the country. We're glad to have him on the show. Clint, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. Glad to be here.
So are you in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. So. Do you know Bill Bartman out there?
I do actually know him. I've heard him speak a few times, and so haven't seen him, but he's pretty well known in this area. Great guy, actually.
Yep. Bill's been on our show, and I've had the pleasure to meet with him, and he's a very wonderful guy, and always enjoyable to speak to, and definitely a charming gentleman.
Yes, he is. I've read his book, and like I said, I've heard him speak a few times, and very knowledgeable. I admire him a lot for what he's done and what he's doing now, actually. So
absolutely. Okay, so because I kind of, you know, I love fitness, and my first, you know, my first true love was fitness. Let me ask you this. I'm just going to jump right into it. What is the best type of training for fat loss, in your opinion?
Okay, and here's something really a lot of people are still, it seems like still confused on this and just really not educated because we work with a lot of people, and, you know, there's some certain things. There's a lot of research now. A lot of studies have been done the last 10 or 15 years, so a lot of the science and what's been recommended now is changing completely from what was, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So really now it's more metabolic-style training, interval-style training. And just real quick, as far as my background, I'm an exercise physiologist, so I was in school, you know, for about 8 years, and everything we did was, you know, research-based, a lot of clinical studies, trials. You know, we had to see exactly what worked, what didn't work, come up with hypotheses, and, you know, so that's kind of just my trade, my background by nature. So when I started training clients in open office facility, that was where I was going. You know, it wasn't just the random, what you see out there, get you tired. Let's just go and work out and just burn some calories and just, you know, we'll just go with that. So really there's science now that proves what works and what doesn't. Really it is the newer cutting-edge style training, which we call metabolic resistance training.
Love it. And so I know you also have something that's called EPOC. And what
uh-huh.
does EPOC stand for? And what is its relationship to high-intense interval-style training?
Yeah, exactly. EPOC, that's epoch, and that's you don't want to get too scientific here, but just want to cover a few things. That's called we call it epoch, and basically, that's kind of really just what made me go into fitness. I mean, I was in exercise physiology, and I remember the first day. I still remember I was in a class, and my professor explained to us epoch. I'd never heard of it. And really, what it stands for is excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, and what we call now is like afterburn. You know, after a workout. That's kind of the common term. But I was fascinated by this phenomenon. I'd never heard this until I was in school and learning. I was like, man, this is just crazy. You know, I've been working out and played sports my whole life. But really what it is, it's a recovery process of metabolic rate back to your pre-exercise levels, you know, before you work out. So basically it can be several minutes after, you know, a light workout, you know, just doing slow cardio or something of that nature. And then when you do more of the high-intense metabolic stuff, you create a lot more afterburn. And the reason this is, we have what's called tissue turnover, which is just our muscle repair, the kind of the recovery process from the micro trauma. I mean, we got to realize that's what we do when we work out, especially strength training, is we actually tear down our muscles. That's a good thing, though. So then you have to actually replenish those, which takes, you know, metabolic activity and also the oxygen debt that we used up in the workout. So all this process, you're actually burning calories. And now there's, you know, a lot of science that shows this process can last up to 24, even 36 hours post-workout. So,
wow, that's incredible. I love that.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
So let me do this. I have to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking to fitness expert Clint Howard about you and your fitness right after this quick commercial break.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it? Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Clint Howard. You can check him out at TulsaFitnessSystems.com. And we just got through talking about EPOC, which is a post, what they call afterburn. And earlier, Clint, you had mentioned metabolic resistance training, and give us a little bit, expand on that a little bit. How is that done exactly?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Really what metabolic resistance training, and the term's getting, you know, fairly more common now, you know, 5-10 years ago, no one really even knew what that term meant. But really what it is, it's a total body workout. So it's full body. You know, we're getting away from the bodybuilding, you know, from 20, 30, 40 years ago of doing, you know, body parts, you know, for one day. So it's a total body workout where basically it's high-intensity work periods with short rest periods. So you go alternating sets like in a circuit. And so, for example, you know, like you could do 6 or 8 stations and say the first station could be an upper body and then you rotate next to a lower body. And so basically the concept is your heart rate stays elevated, so you're getting the cardio benefit of interval training, but you're doing resistance training, you're doing strength training, so you're really getting the best of both worlds. There are a lot of ways it can be set up, and you know, we do tons of exercises, but typically in a sequence of our workouts, we'll do anywhere from 4 to 10 different exercises. Again, full body, lots, you know, core, ab, total body, upper body, lower body, and then just again, rotate through, so you would go through like a sequence of those exercises 3 to 4 times. So really, it's all about the intensity, you know, keeping the heart rates elevated, doing strength training, and so you get a lot more bang for your buck that way.
Now, let me ask you this. Okay, having said that, how often should people train like this? If you're doing a full body workout instead of doing the body parts, how often should people train like this? Are you having them come in every day or every other day?
No, it's usually 3 days a week. I mean, again, you know, when you work out, again, I think I mentioned earlier, you actually, you know, you break your body down. So then you have to actually, when you actually recover is when you're actually getting the benefits, you know, from that workout. So certainly you get the other end of the spectrum. Some people don't work out, and some people actually work out too much, you know. So typically 3 times a week, ideally, you would split that up, like a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sometimes twice in a row. But, again, breaking those out throughout the week, and again, normally 3 days a week, because, again, you are getting the benefits even up to 24 hours later from that workout as far as just, increased resting metabolism and the recovery process. And then, again, it goes back to what someone's goals are. If they're really trying to lose fat, then we would, typically have them doing cardio as well. But the strength training metabolic would be typically 3 days per week.
All right. So if you're trying to lose some significant fatty tissue, then you might do the strength training, high intensity metabolic training 3 days a week, and then cardio in between that.
Yeah, exactly. And then really on the cardio, the same style of training, even for cardio, interval based and HIIT, the popular term in our industry, HIIT, HIIT, high intense interval training. And so compared to doing slow, what I call slow, boring cardio, so like a lot of our clients on days they do cardio, we have them, go for 20 or 30 minutes, but do intervals, say sprint for 30 seconds and then recover for 60 seconds. So that's what we call a 1-to-2 ratio. And so you're going to get a lot more fatigued as opposed to doing an hour while you're watching a television show or reading a book or a magazine, and your heart rate really never gets elevated. So you can get the same metabolic benefit from the cardio just like you do the strength training. Not quite as much, because with strength training there is more of the muscle trauma, the muscle breakdown, but still you can get the benefit. And honestly, right now, a great example is just look at the Olympics. I mean, that everybody was watching the Olympics the last few weeks. You look at those sprinters, and everyone's talking about a lot of the athletes that have the ripped bodies, six packs and lean, and that's how they train. And you look at more your endurance, your longer, long distance runners, and they're, smaller, more frail, and those are the best athletes in the world. I mean, locally I see lots of people that do runs and marathons and walk that are overweight, and I've never seen an overweight sprinter. so there's real world examples as far as the training. And again, science is always behind. I mean, when people do clinical studies and trials, they have to publish those findings and their statistics, and there's a lot of process for those that actually get put out. And those are the kind of things that I read. I don't read the muscle magazines. A lot of those are, you have to be careful in those, who's putting that out in the magazines, the advertisers. But so science is starting to catch up now, what really works as far as the intensity, the high intense stuff, the metabolic training, as opposed to the long, slow stuff or some things we saw years ago. So it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. I love that. Now, let me ask you this, and we're kind of running short on time here. With your background and experience, what is the best time of the day to work out? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, really, I tell people just whenever you can get it in. I mean, you can argue, let's do it in the morning, because people ask, yeah, I get in the morning, your metabolism gets elevated, and it does. I mean, for sure, you work out in the morning, it does. It gets you awake, gets you alert, gets your body, moving, blood flowing. But, I know people that just aren't morning people. If they came in, I get into office at 4:30 in the morning, they'd be like zombies. Their workout would be just horrendous. So we have a ton of clients who work out in the evening. So really, the morning, sure, there's benefits as far as things aren't going to come up, as far as meetings and just for consistency and adhering to the program. But really, we tell people it doesn't matter. Everyone's kind of got their own set point, their own homeostasis, when their peak energy levels are, and that kind of ties into your sleep patterns and your lifestyle. So everybody's different. We tell people you just have to stay committed. We do obviously training, so group training, there's accountability, and they're hiring us to help them with that. But you just gotta make it a priority and do it whenever it fits your schedule. The good thing about high intense training, it doesn't take as long. You can get more, you can get benefits. I mean, we have clients that that do workouts on their own sometimes for 10 or 20 minutes, and it's a quick workout when they travel and still get benefits from that instead of going and grinding out an hour or two workout. So that's good too.
Absolutely. I love it. Clint Howard, fitness expert, best-selling author. You can check him out at TulsaFitnessSystems.com. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, great. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Hey, guys, we have just a fantastic show. I am stuffed. It was just a great lunchtime today. Just a lot of great information about how to take care of your business, how to take care of your body, how to take care of your life, and It's all available to you at no charge, mind you. This is all free, 24 hours a day at moneyforlunch.com. It just doesn't get any better than that. So check us out at moneyforlunch.com. A lot of great topics, a lot of great contributors that are coming on every day. And remember, if you want to connect with us, you can check us out on Twitter at moneyforlunch.com as well. And like I always say, we appreciate you being here from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.